Welcome to the ISF podcast from the Information Security Forum, featuring timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert. Today, we feature an interview of ISF CEO Steve Durbin by Göran Wallas, CTO at NetNordic Sweden. Göran has more than 20 years of experience in cybersecurity, and he's been CTO at NetNordic Sweden since 2018. Steve and Göran discuss the double-edged sword of AI and machine learning, how they can best be implemented to defend organizations' security, and the need to know basics for CISOs and cyber professionals.
Today we are talking about AI and ML technologies being a double-edged sword, since it's used in both cyber defense as well as by the threat actors. We recently demonstrated a concrete threat example where we made an impersonation of myself in a digital meeting using publicly available tools based upon deepfake. Steve, can you share some other examples of AI and ML-driven misuse and threats?
Yeah, sure, Göran. I mean, I think that the example that you give there is what we would call at the ISF adversarial. So we tend to differentiate between adversarial use of AI and then accidental from the threat perspective. So the adversarial use, we see that really with threat actors. You made the point there that a lot of the technology is freely available, so very easily available. And I think one of the things we need to bear in mind when we talk about threat actors and AI in particular is that, of course, everything that's available to the good guys is also available to the threat actors. So we need to just bear that in mind. But what are the sorts of things we're seeing? Well, certainly deepfakes, impersonation. Some of the other things, though, that worry me about it are probably to do with really sitting on top of this, you know, accidental and adversarial. So I worry a lot about data integrity. So artificial intelligence really is dependent upon the integrity of the data for making the right decisions. If you affect change that data, then the machine will act accordingly. So the big concern for me, and it has been for some years now, is us not being aware of where our data has been changed, that being then input into artificial intelligence or even machine learning systems, and us then having to pick the pieces up from there. So I think it's very important when we talk about artificial intelligence and the way in which threat actors might use that to differentiate, as I say, between the adversarial and then the accidental in terms of the mistakes that perhaps as users of AI we could avoid versus the barriers that we need to put up to make life much more difficult for threat actors.
Given the fact that there's a lot of hype, buzzwords and myths around AI, in total, how real would you say the threat of AI is?
Yeah, I think we have to look at that again within the context of where artificial intelligence is going. So when I look at this particular evolution, I look at it within the context of the way in which technology is moving, the way in which we can adapt our systems, our defenses. And there are some things in there that are making life exceptionally difficult for the security professional. So we're creating huge amounts of data, massive volumes. We're increasing the velocity, the speed at which that data is being transitioned and shared. We're using cloud systems. We're using cyber physical systems, if you think about smart cities, for instance. Now, all of that, that digital transformation journey that very many people talk about, makes life very much more difficult, as I say, from a security standpoint. AI and machine learning and the tools associated with both of those really are helpful to the security professional, because we simply don't have, as individuals, as humans, the ability to monitor the sheer volumes of data that we're talking about. And that's one of the reasons why, if we look at the overall market, you know, the market for AI technology and tools between now and 2025 is probably going to increase by about $19 billion. So that gives you some insight into the scope that we're talking about and the overall number of different, I think, applications, tools, and things that we'll see coming along. So it is an evolutionary market. It is changing very, very quickly. We do, I think, always need, from a security standpoint, to be very specific about how we're managing and using new tools, because at the end of the day, the tool is only ever going to be as good as either the data that it's working off or the people that are working with it. And so those are the really important pieces for me. But AI is something that we're going to be talking about for very many years to come.
So what should CISOs and their security teams, at the minimum, know about AI?
You know, that's an interesting question. It's one that I get asked a lot by ISF members. Because if we look at what the CISO is trying to do, right, and the CISO's team, there is just so much for them to cover. And so I try to make it simple for them. I try to break it down and really say you should be viewing AI as any other security tool that you've got there. So what would you do? Well, you'd want to understand your overall internal landscape. You know, what are you going to use it for? How does it fit within your overall security strategy? What sort of data inputs is it going to be taking? What are you expecting to see from it? But for me, the key piece is really determining your overall strategy from a security perspective. So how does AI fit into that? Because it may well be that you have to go right the way back to basics and look at re-architecting your overall security landscape. You know, security architecture is something that very few people want to talk about for a variety of reasons. It's hugely complex. Normally, it has evolved over a period of time within an organization. And so it's one of those things that if you can avoid it, you probably don't want to touch. Now, we're starting to see people doing that when they talk about zero trust. AI fits into the same category as far as I'm concerned. So the job of the CISO is to really understand the overall landscape across the organization, how these tools might be used, the benefits that are going to be derived, and lastly, and really importantly, how that fits into the overall organizational strategy. So what benefit to the organization is the use of an AI tool or technology really going to bring in pursuit of those longer-term corporate goals?
Now, looking at cyber defense solutions, almost all security vendors claim their products and services are AI-driven to some extent. Would you say that is marketing or actually a natural evolution of these protection technologies?
I think you're right. I think that some of it is marketing. You would expect that, wouldn't you? You know, if I look at the way that the ISF views artificial intelligence, then we talk about that systems that are truly AI are those that are able to learn, to reason, to act independently of human intervention. And I think that's the lens through which we have to look at some of these tools that are emerging. So for me, a lot of the tools on the market are not truly artificially intelligent, if you like. I would really define them as machine learning. For some people, that's pure semantics. But the reality of it all is that we are in very early days still of vendors providing artificial intelligent tools. So they will develop further. There is immense benefit to be gained from implementing some of these technologies into some of the tools that many people listening to this will be using, of course, across the security network. But I'm always a little bit skeptical when vendors tell me that AI is fully embedded into their tools. It's no doubt it's in there somewhere, but there's a long way to go yet.
What are the key advantages and disadvantages of AI in a cyber defense?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think that, you know, if I start with the disadvantages, one of the big disadvantages for me is people. If you think about artificial intelligence, the number of people that will need to be touching that within your organization from the beginning through to actually maintaining it, using it, is vast. So we're now trying to fit this in with everything else that the security team is trying to do. So we have to upskill them. We also have to make sure that they understand how that AI system is going to be used. So the disadvantage for me is the sheer amount of time that needs to be taken out of the normal day to get people up to speed, to be able to use the systems effectively. Now, of course, the advantage, if you can do that, is tremendous in terms of increased efficiency. It's tremendous in terms of potential for cost reduction. But again, much more importantly, it's our ability then to use human resources in ways where we're getting the best from people. You know, people are not very good at monitoring networks. It's deadly dull. Why would you want to sit there looking at it all day? Give it to a machine to do. Use AI in that way. Then that frees up the individual to go off and do something where they can really add value. But you also have to take into account the fact that AI systems as they are today can't be just left to run on their own. So we do need to keep monitoring them. And so really for me at the moment, we're at a stage where it's about how AI and people, security teams, work collaboratively together to get the best from a potential solution.
So where do you believe CISOs should set their expectations for what AI can realistically provide to their defense?
Yeah, I think if we look at it today, so in 2022, then the sorts of things that would immediately, you know, come to mind would be things like, as I just mentioned, network monitoring and analysis. It's a great opportunity there for AI. intrusion detection, user and entity behavior analytics, for instance, a lot of interest in that whole space. I think AI is good in that area. Vulnerability identification would be another one. And then, of course, you'd have to put into the mix malware detection and analysis too. You know, and if we step back and just think about that, those are some of the things that CISO teams spend a lot of time working on in the day-to-day. So this really reinforces that point that I was making, that if we can re-architect the way in which we're using our security resources, include AI in all of that, then what we're starting to see is some very real benefit in terms of utilization. And I think what I always say to CISOs is, do try to get the best from all of the resources that you have available. So, you know, AI, use it where you know it's going to generate a real impact, where you know it's fit for purpose. Similarly, use your people where they can do the same.
Stephen, how use case oriented do you need to be these days to evaluate AI-based initiatives like threat and anomaly detection, data discovery and categorizations, etc.?
Yeah, as I was saying, AI is in a sort of growth phase, so it's probably a sort of entry-level teenager, if you look at it that way, with all of the challenges that that brings. But actually, the reality is today that AI really does possess what we would call a somewhat narrow intelligence. So it's very good at a small number of things. So in one of our Threat Horizon reports some years back, for instance, we talked about AI and we used the example of artificial intelligence playing the game of Go, where it was absolutely outstanding, but it couldn't play chess and it couldn't play tennis. And that is quite instructive, I think. So we really do need to think about using our AI systems for very, very specific tasks at the moment, because they're hugely dependent upon the data that we provide them with. And they don't have that ability, as you and I do, to think outside the box. So we always need to be aware of that. So really imagining what it is we want to do with the system, what good looks like, and how we're going to measure that and monitor it and manage it, I think are hugely important as we embark on an AI journey across the organization.
What should CISOs ask the vendors about AI security?
I don't know that there is a huge amount of difference in what you would ask an AI vendor than what you would ask a vendor of any other system, to be frank. I think that you need, as the CISO, to have done your due diligence beforehand. So it is about understanding how that AI solution would fit into your organizational security governance structure. How can you provide security assurance on that AI solution? And then we're into some of the more day-to-day elements. You know, how are you going to install it, maintain it, back it up, ensure the integrity of the data that it's using? And finally, I think a point that I touched on earlier, you know, what skills do you need to have in-house to really oversee your AI solution? Because the last thing you want to do is to become over-dependent upon the vendor. So this is one of those areas where you really do need to understand who's responsible for what in terms of that overall AI solution. And there's plenty of vendors out there that will promise to provide you with a total solution, but that may not be what you're looking for.
So how would you say AI impact your workforce strategy?
I think for me, AI has a key role to play. You know, we talk a lot in the industry about skill shortage. We talk about not having enough resources. And I think that the clever use of AI, the clever use of technology, can help alleviate some of those challenges. But there is a limit to the level of autonomy that we can allow an AI system across our organizations. So we need to balance autonomy of an AI system with the degree of human oversight that we need to provide to make sure that it's effective and working efficiently. And I made this point earlier, you know, so that does mean that we need to make the time for our people to be trained up on the systems. With some very large organizations that certainly are in the ISF membership today, we know that AI technology is already being used in other parts of the business. So not just in security, you know, it's being used in marketing, for instance, or it's being used in some manufacturing operations, that kind of thing. So that's a great opportunity from the security standpoint to actually learn within your own organization about how you can manage the use effectively of AI systems and how you can perhaps just get some hints and tips from other departments that have been using it that will provide you with some shortcuts in terms of perhaps how you might implement or the training that's required and so on. So I think, you know, don't view it as being purely a security issue. Think much broader than that.
So finally, can you please share a key takeaway message regarding the double-edged sword that AI is within cybersecurity?
I think there is a reality for us in business in general, security in particular, that technology will continue to evolve at a pace. We will continue to want to use technology in ways that we haven't really imagined. If you think about COVID, the pandemic, you know, that whole hybrid working, people working from home in ways that we'd never imagined potentially, which gave security a little bit of a headache in the early days because we had to adapt. So I think that AI certainly provides us with some really interesting tools that we can use. But for me, we always have to bear in mind that that's all it is. It's a tool. We have to make sure that the data we're providing it with really is appropriate, that we have effectively managed the governance across our organizations, that the integrity of the data is there, that the confidentiality of it is there, so it can't be hacked back, for instance, to see how we arrived at certain data points that are being used within the systems. And these are all very traditional security things that I'm talking about. So I think the key sort of takeaway for me about AI is, yes, it's a new technology. Yes, it has lots of benefits. But don't forget some of the basic security elements, because that will really deliver value to the way in which you use AI going forward.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Goran Vallis of NetNordic Sweden and to ISF CEO Steve Durbin for letting us listen in on their conversation. There's a lot to consider when it comes to AI and machine learning, and I encourage our listeners to check the show notes of this episode for more links to ISF resources on this subject. Next week, Steve and I return for the first of two discussions on the democratization of AI. Here's a preview.
Artificial intelligence systems currently possess what we would call narrow intelligence, meaning they can perform one type of task very well. AI democratization is the spread of artificial intelligence development to a much wider user base that includes those without specialized knowledge of AI. And why would you want to do that? Well, the basic premise is that the more people have access to the foundational materials, knowledge, tools, data, used to build an AI system, the more innovations that are likely to emerge, resulting in greater efficiency and indeed engagement. The advantage to that is that greater collaboration and a wider variety of data in theory can make AI not only much more effective, but more importantly, improve its decision making and therefore the results it powers to be fairer. A system built by someone without appropriate training or controls can introduce discrimination or privacy errors that may not become evident until after its implementation. And that could result in reputational and indeed technical fixed costs for companies.
We'll be back for the full conversation in a week. In the meantime, is there a topic or question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode? Let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find that catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. Follow us on LinkedIn by searching CEO Steve Durbin or Security Forum. Follow our audio feed wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And if you like the ISF podcast, we'd love it if you'd write us a short review and if you'd rate the podcast. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox and Tavia Gilbert, with music by Alexander Filipiak, associate producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Brian Barney. Thanks for listening.